Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
The greatest subject in the world is God. And that's why Jesus is so important, because most people have no idea who he really was. They only see the bearded robe sandal Jesus of history that walked the Galilean shores, or at Christmas time, they see him as the babe in the manger, and at the age of 12, debating with the teachers at synagogue, and he grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God, favor with man. And then at age 30, after working in the carpenter shop, he gathers a small group of band of followers, and we know about the crucifixion, we know about the resurrection, thank goodness. And then he ascended, went back to his rightful place as Lord of the universe. But Jesus was that, but that's not all who he was. So the scripture talks about the veil of Jesus, which was his flesh, the bearded robe sandaled Jesus. That's not the image we're supposed to have of Jesus. So we got together and we decided that we would try and expand our understanding of who Jesus really is. Nothing could be more important. So we learned that Jesus was Lord, creator of all. Without him was not anything made that was made. He made the whole deal. Then we learned that he was the lover of all. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. Nothing you have ever done that can stop God from loving you, for Jesus from loving you. And then we learned that he was the Savior of all. Unto us a child was born. Remember the scripture, this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it was announced to be good news to all mankind. So then we went to Jesus as Lord of all, like he's the number one honcho in the whole universe. And whenever a nation quits having him as the Lord, there's big trouble. And then today we want to talk about understanding Jesus as the judge. So I hope that you'll grab a pencil and paper and take some notes down. And of course, you can always go and rewind the video and watch it, but I certainly don't want you to miss what's coming, because this is probably the most misunderstood or misrepresented subject in the world right now. Jesus as the judge of all, that's the point we want to make. So we want to start with understanding exactly what the issues are. Here it is. That without judgment, there can be no justice. So let's take a look at some of the scriptures now. And let's look at some definitions. Justice. Justice is the maintenance of what is just or right by the exercising of some authority or power. It is the assignment deserved, whether of reward or punishment, based on the finding of the adjudication, and then justice based on that finding is assigned whether to reward or to punish. It is the giving of due deserts. So reward and punishment are in fact the opposites. So understand, though, that without judgment there can be no justice. To judge means to form an opinion or a conclusion after following careful consideration or deliberation. To judge means to assess, to evaluate, or to appraise of a circumstance or situation. Now, in contrast with that, we often think of the word judgmental, which is a different thing altogether. Judgmental is displaying an overly critical point of view, and there are some people that's all they do in life, and in fact they remind you of the devil, because that's what he does. He goes around pointing his finger at people. Judgmentalism. In fact, I want to recommend, we have a video called How to Stop Judging. It's not easy, because it's become a part of our culture now. So the first thing we must learn is that without judgment, there is no justice. The next thing we must grasp is that, and this is a big deal, when a nation or a people or a person departs from God, there is a loss of justice. And I'm going to show you how that gets perverted. So let's look at the scripture, though. None call for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, and they speak lies. They conceive of mischief, and they bring forth iniquity, which is the opposite of justice. They cover themselves, their injustice, with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, no proper reward or punishment. And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. How can I outdo everybody else? The way of peace, they know not. Why is that? Why is there no peace? Watch this now. It's because there is no judgment in their goings. They have made crooked paths. And whosoever goes in there, the way of crookedness, shall not know peace. And therefore, judgment is a long way far from us. And neither does justice overtake us. Because remember, if there's no judgment, there's no justice. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall, like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. No fairness, no justice, no salvation. It's far from us. Here's why. For our transgressions are multiplied for thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know what they are. Our narcissism, we know what it is. We try to outdo the other, right? In transgressing and lying against the Lord, watch this now, and departing away from our God, this is what happens. We speak oppression and revolt. We conceive and uttering from the heart wounds, words of falsehood, lies, 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 and judgment is turned way backward, and justice stands afar off. Now watch this. Judgment is turned way backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity or justice cannot enter. In fact, truth fails. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, displeased him, that there was no judgment. Watch this now, because I don't want you to miss this truth. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And so, once there's no justice, people who do right become the target. And so, everybody who's going wrong doesn't like people who go right. And if you stand up for what's right, you get in trouble. And that's essentially what that scripture was saying to us, that if you depart from evil, you become a prey, you become a target, and they're after you because for some reason, they're not happy to do wrong. They want everybody else to do wrong too. When there is a departure from God, justice is lost. Why? Because a man or men are deciding what's right and wrong instead of God. When you take God out of the picture, men become the position of God. They decide what's right and wrong. Huh. And that's exactly what Hitler did. In fact, he passed a law legally that certain group of people, the Jewish people, were not human. And once it was recorded that legally the Jewish people were not human, then you could kill them without committing murder because they weren't human. Now, it may shock you to realize that that's what's happening in America. In 1973, the United States Supreme Court changed the law to exclude a whole class of people from constitutional protection. A baby in the womb is not a human, they said. So since the baby in the womb is not a human, you could kill it without it being murder. It's kind of strange because they really have a double standard, because I happen to live on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean. And 500 feet from my home, if you killed a baby before he's born and disrupt the egg of the baby, of a baby turtle, you can get a $10,000 fine or 6 months in jail. Strange, isn't it? But what is happening is, as we depart from God and secularization takes place, then what really comes down is that right and wrong are being determined not by God, but by others. And, you know, well, let's just decide, for example, let's pass a law that the children in our schools can no longer have the Ten Commandments. They cannot be told, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt honor your father and mother. Let's get that out. Uh-huh. And we did. And then we ban prayer. The secularization of this country has taken God out of the public square, and consequently, there's no justice. Because the terms of judgment is being made by people and not God. So, let's get rid of Christmas. Let's do more secularization. Let's call it a new holiday. And let's make it sure you can't say happy or Merry Christmas, but rather Happy Holidays. It may shock you to know that's exactly what Hitler did. He took the religious holidays and secularized them. And I don't know where this is going, but let me tell you this for sure, that any departure from God means a loss of justice. And now we face justice corrupted at all levels. So I suppose let's start with looking at the scriptures. So here we go. If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of judgment and justice, look at this now, the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province or a state, don't be surprised. Don't marvel at that. Because, watch this now, he that is higher than the highest regards it, and there's no higher than they. Now, this is King James English, so I want to help you to get it more vernacularized. So look at this now. Don't be too upset when you see the poor kicked around and justice and right are violated all over the place. Exploitation filters down from one petty official to another. There's no end to it, and nothing can be done about it. Here's another translation. If you see some poor man being oppressed by the rich with a miscarriage of justice anywhere throughout the land, don't be surprised, for every official is under orders from higher up, and is under orders from higher up, and the higher officials look up to their superior. So the matter is lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Don't miss this. For every official is under orders from higher up, and the higher officials look up to their superiors. And so there's a hierarchy, if you please, of corruption. All levels, from the bottom to the top, and from the top to the bottom. It's all lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Now, let me just give you another part of the scripture. Over them is a king, and I want to replace the word king with the heads of government, okay? Over all of them is the heads of government. Oh, for a king. Oh, that we had heads of government who is devoted to the country. Because only he can bring chaos to an end. He can bring order from this chaos. Because corruption starts at the bottom, goes to the top. You see, if you educate a street criminal, common crook, you produce a blue-collar criminal. Educate him further, he becomes a white-collar criminal. Educate him further, he'll probably become a politician. Because corruption just keeps going up. So what are we going to do about this? Lack of justice, it's everywhere. Corruption from top to bottom. Institutions that we've revered for years and decades. And now, here's what happened. Because we departed from God, we got secularized. So now the standards of God are not there anymore. And that brings us to our next point. That justice requires a high standard of adjudication. Justice requires high standard judging. So let's look at the scriptures on this one. Judges, take heed what you do. For you judge not for man, but for the Lord, and this Lord is with you in judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you, judges. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Now, this is such a crucial verse and portion of Scripture. I want to take it to you through you, increment by increment. Judges, take heed what you do. Justice requires great carefulness. Take heed, judges, what you are doing. Secondly, you are not accountable to mere men. Scripture says, for you judge not for man. You're not doing it for somebody else. If you are, you're going to get disturbed, perverted, bought out, corrupted. Not accountable to man. But you represent God. Don't miss this now. You judges, take heed what you do. Because you're not judging for men, but for the Lord. You are filling in God's position on the earth, so you must judge the way he would judge. And so let's go on forward. Who is this God that you judge? Because you're representing God, and you don't want to misrepresent God. Ooh. He is going to be with you when you do the judging. So judges, you need to accompany God. You need to consult with God. And if you have been too secularized, you will not consult with God, but your political party or whoever else has got influence, right? You must have the fear of the Lord. So now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. What is that? The fear of the Lord is knowing that God himself personally is going to hold you accountable for every thought you think, every motive, and every decision you make, and every action. When I was a kid, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I wanted to steal a turtle out of the store. It was nice green back, and the belly was orange and yellow, and it was, I thought, stick them in my pocket. I didn't have 50 cents. And when I was about to do this, I looked over, and there was the store manager watching me. I had no problem leaving the turtle in the little bowl and letting him swim around. Why? Because I was being watched. Men have lost track of this. Men have lost track of the idea, the truth, that Almighty God sees everything they do. There are scriptures, you know, that encourage, inspire. There are other scriptures that kind of jerk the slack out of you. Here's one of those. Thou, O God, seest me. And then when you understand that the darkness and the light are both alike unto him, he can see in the dark as well as in the day. He knows what's going on. And judges must have the fear of the Lord, which means they're being watched by God, and someday they will give an account to God for every adjudication they make. So they must have the fear of the Lord. And then the scripture says, take heed and do it. Act on all those points made so far. Now watch it, because it goes farther. There is no iniquity with the Lord God. There can be no inequality in judging. Zero narcissism. Zero self-ego-driven condition. There must be zero iniquity. Justice must be meted out properly and equally to all. And then, a judge cannot favor one person over another. There's to be no respect of person. The rich and the poor is irrelevant. One's social status is irrelevant. One's political party is not relevant. A judge cannot favor or have respect of persons, because if he does, the justice will be perverted, judgment, and justice will not happen. And then he must not accept bribes. Look at this now. Nor taking of gifts. Judges are not allowed to take bribes. Now, there's a good reason for this. And so, and I'm going to talk about this for a moment, because the truth of it is that the scriptures teach that money is the root of all evil. So the desire for favor, gifts, money, benefit, has a detrimental effect upon proper judging, and therefore justice is ruined. So let's look at that one more time. Must accept no bribes, no taking of gifts. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. Zero. You're not for sale, judge. Cannot be. Not for trinkets and not for terabytes, not for influence, not for gold. No taking of gifts. Because here's why. Because a gift doth blind the eyes of otherwise smart people. And it perverts the words of the righteous. Bribery destroys the essence and the core. You may wonder why I'm a little overwhelmed when I say these kind of things. It's because it doesn't take much observation of our current political and governmental situation in this country, our country, to know that we're in deep trouble. that we're being sold out, that there's traitors everywhere, because he gets more money by, so let's go back to this verse again. A gift blinds the eyes of otherwise smart people, and it perverts the words of judgment. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou should live. So, you see, justice requires higher standards of judging. I don't want to leave this quite yet. And I've already figured out that we're going to have to do this in two parts anyhow. So let's go to the book of Proverbs. Because it says there, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Now watch this. To receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. And these four things are critical to proper high standard judging. It will give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. It's just got to be understood that justice, true justice, requires a higher standard of judging. Now, here's the big point. Only God and those who follow God are qualified to judge. Only God has the mechanism, the intention, the motive, the purity, the wisdom, the love, all the ingredients to make true judgments which bring justice. Only God is qualified. So here comes the scripture. Do you think God perverts judgment? Do you think that the Almighty perverts justice? This is a rhetorical question, of course. The answer is certainly not. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth go before thy face. Notice this combination. And I wish I had time to take you through all the verses of the scripture. Justice and judgment are always put together like sisters. They're like married. They're coupled together all the time. And God is the author of justice and judgment. So let's look some more. As to do with the Almighty, I mean, he's so smart we cannot find him out. Now watch this. Because he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice, and he will not do anybody wrong. He will not afflict. Boom. I don't want you to miss this. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. Only God and those who follow God are obviously going to do what God wants, and so there's going to be judgment and justice. Men do therefore fear him, and he doesn't respect any that think they're really smart. Men should fear him, and he's got no consideration for anybody who thinks they're smarter than God. It is stunning to me how many people think they're smarter than God. So there are some factors that got we in America into our present condition, where we got rid of God. It started with this idea that of evolution, that nothing made itself into something, and now here we are. We had to get God out. See, it was a philosophy intended, taught in our colleges, in our schools, because if we can get God out of the picture, we can do what we want. We don't have to have some righteous standard to which we have to obey. So let's go back to the same scripture, but let's look at it in a translation. Mighty God, far beyond our reach, unsurpassable in power and justice, It's unthinkable that he'd treat anybody unfairly. Whoa. So bow to him in deep reverence, one and all. If you are wise, you will most certainly worship him. Bow to him, one and all. Why? Because then you'll be aligning yourself with what's right. The scripture says, the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Am I? And now we come to another rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You don't think he'll do what's right? Listen to this translation. Far be it from you, God, to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, to treat them the same, so that the righteous fare as do the wicked, you reward them both. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of the earth execute judgment and do righteously? Only God is qualified to judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth execute judgment and do righteously? You can count on it. When it comes to judging, he's going to do it right. Shall not the judge of the whole world do what's right? It was George Washington who made it really plain. It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. It is the secularization, the removal of God from our culture, our government, that's got us in a corrupt condition from top to bottom. Let's look at another one. The American Revolution, the glory of it was this. This is actually a picture of the Supreme Court. It connected in one indissoluble bond, watch this now, the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. John Quincy Adams. These two must be merged. If you take God principles out and just get people, you got trouble because they are contesting with one another. They are putting people up and others down. They are self-promoting. They are walking on top of one another. We've lost civility. And so the founding fathers declared, the inalienable rights of man are rooted not in state, because if they're in the state, they're going to lose them. Not in the legislature, nor in any other human power, but in God alone. So, without God, government goes astray, and justice is lost. For example, Scripture teaches us not to, you know, no debt. And somewhere along the line, we left the principles of God that says, owe man anything but love, and decided that we could just borrow money. Do we really think we're going to pay it back? Can you see the immorality of borrowing so much money that it can never be paid back? Do you not see how much injury is done to justice and what is right? It's wrong to steal. And so if you take money from somebody who earned it and give it to somebody who didn't earn it, you have, we're in such trouble. It's really... In fact, I can't emphasize this so much, is there must be a return to God. And the justice will be served because judgment will be righteous. Without God, it's what everybody says it is. And that's why George Washington said it this way. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Now watch this, because it didn't end there. It's the duty of all nations, not just America, but all nations, to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, to humbly implore His protection, favor. But I don't want you to miss this. Because if we have a government that's not willing to obey His will, we're going to have corruption. Only God has the capability of judging properly and helping those who are judges to do so according to godly principle. Now, there's a shocking thing that happens according to Patrick Henry. You remember him. He's the patron that said, give me liberty or give me death. We're here for liberty. And this is what he said. It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. Because if we kick God out, and the rulership of God and the principles of God are kicked out of our culture, of our society, of our government, then those who are in government, those become tyrants. They got their will instead of God's. Not the best of the country, but the best that's working for them. And so on goes the bribery and the corruption to almost every polluted level. And that's why we're in so much trouble. The truth is, only God qualified to judge. Now let me end this part one with letting you know some good news. Here it is. The good news is that Jesus Christ Himself is the judge of all. Let's take a look at this. Good news, Jesus is the judge of all. Now here's what happened. The Jews sought to kill Him. Not just because He broke the Sabbath, but He said that God was His Father and made Himself equal with God. This is why they were mad at Him. Because He taught that He was God. He was equal with God. And boy, that's why they wanted to kill Him. Today, question is, have you got this straight? Do you know who Jesus really is? Yep, God Himself, going to show you that in a moment. But they tried to kill Him because He let them know He was equal with God. And this is what the scriptures say. The Father judges no man, but hath committed, now watch this, not just some of the judgment, but all of the judgment unto His Son. And this is really good news. If I were going to have somebody judge me, I would prefer it were Jesus. And justice will be done. But let's not end there, but let's take a look at one more scripture that you know so well. It's often quoted in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, remember that? And unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. The government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What I want you to catch, though, is the government shall be upon His shoulders. And watch this now. Of the increase of His government and of His peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever, even forever. And His zeal will perform this. Watch this now. Do not miss this. Jesus comes to order and to establish with judgment and with justice. That, my friends, is the real big news. Jesus, the judge of all. And the fact is, the next time we get together, I can hardly wait to give you the details of how he judges. He's absolutely magnificent. And we're going to have to go through the scriptures to discover exactly what kind of judgments is happening. Three different groups of people that will be judged, and how will they be judged, and where they'll be judged, and when they will be judged, and what will be the, well, how will justice come out of this? That's what we're going to do next. It's so important to understand that Jesus is, in fact, the judge of all. And we're going to spend our time on that. I'm about to bid you farewell, but before I do, I want you to know that we have lots of materials. Free. You can go to our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. Nothingbutthetruth.org. And our most recent release there is a book called Why You Were Born. Everybody needs to read this and know why they were born. In fact, it was said that there are two important days in a person's life: the day you were born and the day you found out why. You are so important. And discovering why you were born will light up your world, will give you so much benefit. You'll know where you're going in life, and you'll know how to get there, and so very much more. So make sure you order. You can get it from Amazon, or you can get it by calling or writing to our website, our address. 188 The Truth, by the way, is our number. 188 The Truth. But the most important thing right now, my friends, is you. And you really want to know Jesus in all of his dimensions. Yep. Creator. Yep. Savior. Lover. Lord of all. And Judge.